The Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. The book of Matthew, chapter 10. It's been a little while since we've been here. I'm giving you part three to a message that I began several weeks ago on the two words, these 12. This is these 12, part number three. Now, we'll begin our reading in just a moment with verse number 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 37. Now, we've been preaching through this chapter together, through this book in the New Testament, and we've come to chapter 10, verse number 37. This is Jesus speaking. I've been asked to announce also that Brother Bob needs to meet with all the juniors and seniors by the organ after the service tonight. So all juniors and seniors by the organ after the service tonight. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 37. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Now again, this is part three of the message that I've entitled, "These 12 that I got from earlier in the chapter in verse number 5. Let's pray together, and I'm going to bring you up to date as quickly as I can, try to do it as quickly as I can. Bring you up to date where we're at in this particular sermon, and then we'll pick up with three final points tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you help us now as we gather around your word. Would you calm our hearts? Would you prepare our hearts? And would you speak to us through your inerrant, inspired, infallible word? Thank you tonight that we have a copy of the Word of God with us. And I pray that you help us not to add to it, take away from it, not to be dishonest with it. But Lord, I pray that you help us just to preach what you've already said exactly the way that you meant it to be given, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, if you want these messages, they're on the website. So I'm just going to hit some highlights here. But in chapter 10, this is a chapter which shows the Lord calling his 12 disciples unto him. The Bible says here in verse number 1, where it says he called unto him his 12 disciples. And let me say again here, this is all by means of introduction, that this is the first thing that a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to take into consideration. God will never call you to do something for him great without first calling you unto himself. He wants you to learn more about him before he's going to send you out to do something great for him. Mark 3:14 says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." Now he was going to send these 12 disciples out to preach. He had a great work for them to do, and he desired to use them for his glory and honor. And let me say right here, it's truly an honor to have God desiring to use us for himself. Now, they are identified as apostles in verse number 2. And this word apostle means a delegate, an ambassador of the gospel, a messenger, he that sent and commissioned of God. But when you come to chapter 10, again, this is part 3 here, just bringing you up to date. When you come to chapter 10, you must remember that before Jesus sends them out to do a work for him, he's called them unto himself. And we're noticing three things that he did. First of all, he empowered them in verse number 1. In other words, he gave them his power for his work. And we need to understand that God's work is bigger than any one of us, and we cannot fulfill the work of God and do an effective job in our flesh. We must have the power of God on our life. Secondly, we notice them not only empowered, but secondly, we notice them named in verses 2 to 4, and in that we can get encouragement that God can use anybody to do something great for His name. Then number 3, this is where we've been tied down for the last 2 times that we've worked in this. We've noticed not only them empowered and them named, but them instructed. Now, there's several instructions that Jesus gave to these 12. Let me go back over the ones that we've already preached on. I'm just going to mention them and go on. Instruction number 1, He told them in verses 5 to 8 to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in a nutshell, He's telling them, as you go, give them the gospel. By the way, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that if there's somebody here tonight who does not know Jesus as their Savior, it's not a church that's going to save you. It's not baptism that's going to save you. It's not turning over a new leaf that's going to save you. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. It is His death, His burial, His resurrection. And I'm telling you, it all works together. And when you trust Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again, He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He justifies you. Thank God for the gospel message around the world today. Number 2 instruction He gave in verse number 8, and that is, do not put a price tag on your ministry. In other words, don't charge for your ministry. Instruction number 3 was found in verses 9 and 10, and He said this, trust God to take care of you. He's saying, as you go out in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, preach the gospel, don't charge for it, and then trust God to take care of your needs. Instruction number 4, guard your character in verses 11 to 15. He's telling them there, don't just yoke up with anybody. He's saying, be very picky with who you yoke up with. Guard your testimony. Instruction number 5 is found in verses 16 to 25 and verses 34 to 36. And that is, while you go, be ready for opposition. Not everybody's going to smile at you. Matter of fact, the majority of people probably will not smile at you. He's saying, when you go and preach the gospel and don't charge for it and do what I've called you to do and guard your character and all these things, be ready, you're going to attract some enemies. He tells them that. Instruction number 6 is found in verse 26, and that is, don't worry about the opposition. God will make things right someday. You can see that in verse 26. I've already preached on all this. I'm just trying to mention it and go on. Then the next instruction was found in verse 27, and that is, preach His word. He told them to preach the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then He tells them here, preach the Bible. You preach what I tell you to preach. What you hear from me, that is your message. The next instruction was found in verse 28, and that is, as you go, there's going to be opposition. Preach my word, preach the gospel, and fear God, not man. That's found in verse 28. The next instruction was found in verses 29 to 31, and that is, God will take care of you. He told them earlier, trust God to take care of you. Then He follows it up here by saying, God is going to take care of you. Then the last instruction that we looked at, the last time I preached on this, was found in verses 32 and 33, and that is, whatever you do, don't be ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tonight we come to the final 3 instructions. Again, if you weren't here, you can go back and hear me preach in detail on all of that and so on. Now, let's start with instruction letter K, whatever number that is. You can figure it out later. Instruction number K, letter K, not number, but letter K. Here it is, verse number 37, and that is this. Now, again, He's given them all these instructions in this chapter. By the way, this is a great chapter for every child of God to study. It's a great chapter to go back over these instructions and say, God, help me to do that. Lord, help me to do that right there. Help me not to ever be ashamed of you. Help me not to ever preach my thoughts or give my thoughts. Help me to give the gospel as I go about. Help me not to fear man, but fear God. Help me to be ready for opposition and not be surprised when it comes. I mean, these instructions are very practical. And the next one he gives is found in verse 37, and that's this. Put God first. Put God first. Look at verse 37. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, continuing with his instructions, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, in these verses, we see the Lord Jesus emphasizing to these 12 that they were to put him first above family and even above self. We see that in verse number 39. First of all here, he mentions their family by saying if they love a parent or if they love a child more than they love him, they're not worthy of him. Now the idea here is that even the most natural loving relationships on earth, in other words, some of the most natural loving relationships on earth is a relationship between a parent and a child. Now, it's a shame. It ought to be between a husband and a wife. But over 50% of marriages end in divorce. It's interesting here, he does not say, if you love husband or wife more than me. Now, I'm telling you, there's a reason he uses if you love father or mother and if you love son or daughter, because that is one of the most natural, long-lasting relationships, natural relationships on earth. But when you compare that natural relationship of love towards a parent or towards a child, when you compare it to your love for the Lord, there should be no comparison. He's saying that his love is to be supreme over every other relationship on planet Earth. And let me ask you a question. How much do you love your child? Have y'all have children? Would you raise your hand? You have children? How much do you love your children? Now, if you're anything like any normal parent, then you would say, I would die for my child. Am I right or wrong? You love your child. It is a natural affection to love your child. Now, let me ask you this question. If your mom and dad is still living, even if they're not, but specifically if they're still living, how much do you love your mom and dad? By the way, let me mention this right here. Jesus says it is a natural thing for a son and a daughter to love their mom and daddy. And let me say this right here. If I'm talking to a teenager who has a problem with your mom and dad, you also have a problem with God. I'm telling you something. If you do not love mom and daddy, that is unnatural. And there's something majorly sinful about something like that. Yet, here's what I'm saying. Normally, in a natural affection relationship with a parent, how much do you love your mom and dad? Now, some of you, your mom and dads are gone and so on. I remember so well, I don't remember many things well, but I remember so well how a preacher would speak so affectionately about his mom and his dad. I respect that. I like that. And my mom and dad are still alive, and I'm telling you right now, if I know my own heart, I would lay my life down for my mom and dad. If I know my heart, I'm not saying I'm trusting my heart, but if I know my heart, I love my mom, I love my dad, it is a natural thing. On the flip side, my children, Judson and Jalen, I'm telling you, listen. Whenever Becky was down and so on, and I was having to, you know, to care for Jalen and well, Judson, I just let him, you know, stay out in the storage shed. But anyway, I'm just kidding with you. I'm telling you right now, I know y'all disagree with this, but my children, my daughter specifically, can have anything she wants. She's gonna get it anyway. Right? No, I'm kidding, obviously. Here's what I'm saying. Our children, now listen to me. When I was at the hospital this morning visiting Miss Hale, I was waiting there. I got there a little early, and I was waiting there, And all of a sudden there was a young couple that came by. This is in the same day surgery area. And a married couple or whatever, man and a woman. And the man was carrying a little baby girl, about Jalen's age. And she had a hospital gown on. In other words, that little girl was there for surgery. And I had to fight the tears this morning. Honestly, I'm serious. I'm a crybaby anyway. I mean, if you've been here any period of time, I boo-hoo about everything around this place. The carpet's red, and I just start losing it, you know, all these kind of things. But what I'm saying to you is this. When I saw that little girl, I immediately thought of my little girl. How much do you love your children? How much? Listen, think about the one person that you love more than anybody else on earth. If you're married, it ought to be your mate. Amen. But it could be a parent. It could be a child. I'm not saying compare. I'm just saying this. Think of somebody right now that you love extremely. And I'm sure Brother Gary and Miss Debbie, they can't think of any little ones right now and so on. What am I saying? Do you have that love in your mind? Jesus said, if you love them more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. He's saying, put me first. This is what he's teaching. Charles Weigel married at an early age. Later, the Lord called him to preach. His wife later told him that he had to make a choice between her or the ministry. And she said she wasn't going to be a preacher's wife. He made the choice that God had called him to preach, and he would not quit preaching. The Lord blessed Dr. Weigel and filled him with his presence. And one night he sat down and wrote, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." He lived a long, lonely life. He never married again. His wife never married again either. God blessed his ministry. And on his wife's deathbed, she called for him and said that that was the worst mistake she'd ever made. But I wonder if there was another human being that came to you right now and said, if you ever attend church, another service, you'll never see me again. Would you keep coming? If you ever tell anybody about Jesus Christ, if you ever try to embarrass me like that out in public, I'll never speak to you again. Would you share the gospel? Jesus knows how human flesh is, friends. And he's saying, if you love anybody more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. John Welch was a preacher of Scotland when the Roman church ruled the land. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. They put him in jail just for preaching, like I'm preaching tonight. The filth and dampness of the underground prison broke his health, and time after time, his wife Mary appealed to the king for his release. But her appeal was always refused until one day in the park she saw the king coming, so she threw herself down on her knees. You can imagine seeing this. Try to think about this. She threw herself down on her knees in front of the king's horse. And he stopped and once more Mary pled for her husband, for the king to release him. And the king, with that lady, bowed down right in front of his horse. He said, and I quote, "If you promise me that your husband will never preach again, I will release him." Mary arose to her feet, held up her apron, and said, "Your Majesty, I would rather have the head of my husband in this apron than to make such a promise as that." The king was so moved by her intensity that he released her husband. See, Christ was everything to her. And Christ was everything to him. Can you imagine? I mean, let's say that they broke in here tonight and so on and come in and put the handcuffs on me and put me in the deepest, darkest, dampest dungeon. And I hope that never happens, but it could happen some days, folks. I hope it doesn't. I'm not praying for it, glory, but you never know what's going to take place. You turn your back on God, anything's possible. And can you imagine, I'm there, and my beautiful wife, and so on, went and tried to, you know, go to a king, if you will. What I'm doing is reverting back years, if you will. Can you imagine her falling down and saying, please release him? And he says, if you will promise he will never preach again. And see her take an apron and raise it up and say, you might as well cut his head off. Because I'm not making a promise like that. You know what made the difference in that lady's life? Jesus was number one. And may God help us to have the same spirit about it. Then the next instruction is found in verses 38 and 39. And that is not only put God first, but letter L is take up your cross. We see this in verse 38 and 39 again. It says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now in verse number 37, he's talking about putting God first above family, above natural affection. But now he hits the rubber here, folks. I mean, the rubber, right here, the rubber meets the road. He's saying, not only put me first over your family, but take up your cross. He's saying, put me first above yourself even. The Lord emphasized these 12, that they were to love him above their own flesh. He tells them to take up their cross. In other words, they were to live a crucified life. See, carrying a cross was burdensome. It was disgraceful and led to death. The Lord was telling these 12 to be willing to suffer hardship and make the sacrifice of their own lives for his sake. They were to deny themselves and live for Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How much denying of self are you guilty of? Why is it that some people do not do what God wants them to do? Why is it that people know I need to be doing that, but they don't do it anyway? Why is it that some people understand what God wants, but they don't do it? Why? Because they've not crucified the flesh. They are alive and they're doing well, and Jesus said, if you're going to do anything for me, you must be dead. He's not talking about in your body. He's talking about your desires, and everything else must be mortified. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now he drives this thought in verse number 39, where he emphasizes that a life lived for self fails. He's saying in verse number 39, he that findeth his life, if you're looking for your life, what can I get out of it? What's good for me? What do I want? He's saying right here, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He's saying, if you want to find something, you must lose something first. What are you searching for? You're searching for peace. You're searching for satisfaction. You're searching for true contentment. And he's saying the way you find it is don't follow your desires. Say no to your desires and say yes to mine. That's what he's saying. He's saying take up your cross. There's a story of a girl who was reared in a society-minded, worldly home. This is years ago. She went to a revival meeting and was gloriously saved during that revival meeting. She trusted Christ as her Savior. And when she told her wealthy parents that she was now a Christian, they got full of anger. They told her that she must give up this foolishness or leave home forever. And they declared that they would disinherit her and not leave her a penny, not a dime. That night she prayed, and the next morning when she came downstairs, she went to the piano and she played and she sang these words. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee, naked, poor, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. This broke the hearts of her parents. They came across the room, threw their arms around her, and with tears in their eyes, they asked their baby girl to tell them about this wonderful Jesus who meant so much to her. Now, unfortunately, the stories many times don't end like that. There are still people that if somebody trusted Christ as their Savior, they'll have family members, this happens around the world, who will disinherit them, kick them out of the home, and have nothing to do with them. And yet some of those people, we may never know their name, but thank God we're not going to be compared to them at the judgment seat of Christ. We think that we're suffering for Jesus if somebody puts something on a billboard or if somebody makes a phone call or if somebody says a bad word about us, we think, oh, I'm suffering so for Jesus. I tell you this story, and I've told it to you before, but when I was in India, Brother T.J. Tilley, Brother T.J. is going to be here with us next month. God willing, we'll take him on and help him. He's traveled in over 100 countries. Can you imagine that? He's the gentleman that came traveling with Tommy Sexton when Pastor Sexton was here preaching. He was sitting right in this area here. He told a story of a man. Can't remember where it was. I think it was Africa. I believe I've told the church this story before, but anyway, I'll tell it to you again. He said, apparently he was recently in a church or whatever the case may be. He knew of this church personally. Or a man went, he was a national, he went to plant a church. And when this man came home one day, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, to be inappropriate or anything like this, but when this man came home one day, he noticed something on his front porch, and it was the head of his boy. There were three men in that area where he was trying to plant this church who got so upset with him that they found this man's son while he was away from home, cut his head off and set it on the front porch of the man, so when he came home, there's his boy's head. Did the man quit? Brother Tilley goes on to tell the story that now there are three men in that church who are not only saved, but they are leaders in that church, and it's those three men who cut his boy's head off. Are you listening to me? There's no man in his flesh that could do something like that. But that man had a hold of something that we need to get a hold of. You know what it is? He that loveth son or daughter or father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. He's saying, put me first. Deny yourself. And the last instruction he gives is found in verses 40 to 42. And that is this. I think it's fitting that he ends this chapter this way. And that is, a just reward will be given. A just reward will be given. Notice verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now notice the language in verse 41 and 42. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now in these verses, we see how the Lord promises a just reward to those who do service that pleases Him. In verse 41, we see that those who receive His prophets will receive a prophet's reward, a just reward. Along with this, those who receive a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Then in verse 42, we see that even though those who give a cup of cold water to one of the little ones will not lose his reward either. He's saying, I'm keeping a record. I know everything that's taking place. And whether it is a prophet's reward, you'll get a prophet's reward. If it's a righteous man's reward, you get a righteous man's reward. But I want the folks to know out there that if all you're doing is carrying water to one of my little ones, I'm making note of that. And that person, even if they do it just in the name of a disciple, they will not lose their reward. Now, I'm telling you, this is a fitting way for the Lord to end this chapter. Wouldn't you agree with me that this chapter's been a little hard on these disciples? Folks, he's getting ready to send them out. He's getting ready to launch them forth, and as he launches them forth, he's giving them all of these instructions to remember, and in these instructions here, again, he reminds them. He says, when you go, preach the gospel. Don't put a price on it. You're going to have to trust me to take care of you and guard your character. Don't yoke up with just anybody. Be ready for enemies. They're going to come after you. But I will make things right someday. Don't worry about it. Just keep preaching the Bible and don't fear man, fear God. I will take care of you. Don't be ashamed of me. Put me first above your own family. Take up your cross. It's going to get hard. It's going to be painful. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to deny yourself. But let me just remind you on here in conclusion, you 12, let me just tell you something, that if you do something for a prophet, you're going to get a prophet's reward. You do something for a righteous man, you're going to get a righteous man's reward. And if you just carry a cup of cold water, I'm making special note of that too. I see that and I will reward it someday. Now you say, what's that mean? That means he's encouraging them here, keep on going. There will be a day when it is worth it all. There was a man who put it this way, talking about just the cup of cold water, the small things, the big things. He said, whether it's this or that or a cup of cold water, he put it this way, it's not the show-off who counts for God, but the patient, gentle Christian who is faithful in all things, day in and day out. And he said this, and I like this. He said, a meteor flashes across the sky, and the story of its flight is emblazoned in every newspaper. But the sunshine of the summer day is taken for granted. Yet we are more blessed by the gentle sunshine than by the blazing meteor. So the faithful Christian is worth more to God than all the human meteors which shine for a few minutes and then grow dim and fade out. Why don't you determine by the grace of God that I'm just going to keep on shining until the Lord calls me home? I'm telling you that one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian, if you're saved, if you're not, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. But as a Christian, if you're saved, if you know the Lord, that one of the greatest things you can do is just be faithful. Just be faithful. I've told you this before. I'm telling you, I'm starting early, preacher. Repeating myself. But anyway, I remember, I don't know if you remember this or not, Tom Farrell was here. This has been several years ago, and he had finished a meeting. And you and he were getting ready to pray, and I purposely walked by that office. I was hoping that you all would let me come in. Went by it, and sure enough, you did. You all called me in, and I had the opportunity to pray with you. Listen to you all pray, I'm sure. After that, he got up. He was walking outside, and he was getting ready to go out your door. I don't know if you remember this or not. I still remember this like it was yesterday. And he stopped, and he turned right around, and he pointed his finger right at me, and he said, Jody, just be faithful. God's not looking for great people. God's looking for faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Does it matter if somebody has preaching ability? Absolutely not. Does it matter how many times you read the Bible? Does it matter how many doors you knock on? Does it matter none of that means anything. What matters is, why are you doing it? And is it for the right motive? And are you doing it faithfully? Jesus is saying here, as he concludes these thoughts, stay with it. And I promise you, I'll give you what you have worked for. Now, we see these 12 in this chapter empowered, given the power of God. We see them named, and we see them instructed. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be known as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has certainly been good to all of us. And let us strive to be all He has called us to be and live according to His faithful instructions. At the same time, let us not forget that in order to be all He wants us to be, we need His power. This is the secret to the Christian life. So as we come to the conclusion of this chapter, the Lord has taken these 12 to school, and He's still trying to take us to school tonight. May the Lord help us with this. Challenge our hearts. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. I pray as we conclude this message tonight, it's taken us 3 sermons to do it, but I pray as we conclude this message that You'll speak to us. Specifically tonight, Lord, I think of these 3 final thoughts of putting You first, taking up our cross, and that a just reward will be given. Help us to focus on these. Speak to us, I pray. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? If something were to happen to you right now, do you have the assurance in your heart that you're a child of God? I'm not asking, do you think so? Do you hope so? I'm asking, do you know that you're going to heaven? Now, I want you to know something, that even we who can raise our hand saying, yes, I know that, there was a day when we could not raise our hand to that question. If you're saved tonight, there was a time when you were not. I'm sharing that just in case there may be somebody lost tonight and you may feel like you're all alone. Let me tell you something. There are 2 types of people: those who've never been saved and those who have. And anybody who's truly a Christian and their heart is right with God will want somebody who's not saved to trust Christ tonight. Is there one tonight, say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything in this world. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in this world. But if you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, if I died just like I am, I don't have assurance of salvation. Let me be honest with that. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to have that assurance. I'd like to know when I put my head on my pillow tonight that I'm saved. I'd like to know that. I don't, but I'd like to. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, put it right back down? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. I never want to be guilty of bypassing anybody who might need Jesus as their Savior. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven. Anybody at all? Would you just put your hand up, put it right back down? Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. God is speaking to me tonight, maybe about putting Him above my family. Maybe God's speaking to you tonight about putting Him above your own life. Maybe you catch yourself living a selfish Christian life. You know you should be doing something that Jesus wants you to do, but you're not doing it. And it might be you're afraid to do it, or it might be that you feel you can't do it, or it might be you just don't want to do it, whatever the case may be. And God has His finger on that whether it's your family or whether it's your own life, that we need to put Him first. God speaking to you in that way? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Maybe tonight the Lord wants to put on your heart and mind that He is keeping the record books and He will give a just reward. There's coming a judgment day, friends. And I don't know about you, but I'd love to have some rewards to cast at His feet. Oh, we're not going to keep those rewards. I don't believe anybody would want to. Because when you see Jesus, can you imagine when you see Him for the first time, you're not going to want to keep. I believe you're going to want to cast it right back at His feet and say, there's no way I could have done this without you. This is all for you. Wouldn't you like to have some things to cast at His feet? Wouldn't you like to have some of those rewards? God says, even if you give a cup of cold water, I'm keeping the record. Maybe God's speaking to you just about to keep on keeping on. Keep on. Let me be honest and say, Jody, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm serving the Lord, but I'm getting tired. Be honest about this. You say, I'm getting worn down a little bit, and I need encouragement. I'm serving, but I need encouragement. Let me be honest with that. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Yes. This is your encouragement. God is watching. And a just reward is going to be given. He's saying, I know it gets hard. Yes, but do you see that there's coming a day when it's going to be worth it? Maybe you want to come and ask God to help you keep your eyes not on the reward, but upon Him who gives the reward. There's a big difference. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, bless it in a great way. In Jesus' name. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If somebody's lost, you need to come. Come on. Somebody wants to come and say, God, help me to keep my eyes on You and realize that a judgment day's coming. Help me to keep going. Help me to put You above my family, above myself. Brother Gary sings. You come on. As he sings, come on. Come on. Talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Say, God, help me to keep my eyes on You. I get tired. Tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him what you just raised your hand about. I get tired. God, I'm tired. I need encouragement. The Lord wants to encourage you with His Word. That's what He wants. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
They're playing through softly. I'd like you to look this way just a moment. Folks are praying. We're just about done. You know, that's a preacher's famous lie, don't you? We're just about done. Let me say this to you here. I love it when the Lord shows up and He breaks my heart and we feel His presence. Now, He's here with us. He lives in us. I love it when He shows up and comes out my eyeballs and I'm weeping and crying. And I love to feel the presence of the Lord. Don't you love to feel His presence? But it's not always like that, is it? It's not always like that. And every now and then, He's still here. His power's still here. He's still working. He's still speaking through His Word. But every now and then, you don't feel His presence. At that time, you know how He deals with me? You're going to preach the same way as if you did feel me? You're just going to be faithful anyway? You're going to keep on going? You're going to keep on blowing the trumpet? You're going to keep on preaching the Bible no matter how you feel? Saying, let's just stay with it. In a world of people who are turning off all the time, determine, God, I'm going to stay put. You can count on me. I'm going to be faithful. By the way, you say that in the flesh, you'll fall flat on your face. But you say, God, You help me and keep me, keep my nose in this book and keep me knelt down at Your feet, begging for Your power. Help me to be right with You, and God will help you be faithful. Amen. This is what I get from this chapter. The Lord's dealing with this. Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary, and then we'll be dismissed here in just a moment.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me.
Sing it if you know it.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I have one announcement for you, and then we'll pray and be dismissed. Mr. Clyde Harbin, this is Tammy Hayes' grandfather. Passed away, and they're having the funeral on Friday from 6 to 8. Is it from 6 to 8? Okay. At the Scott County Funeral Home. And then Saturday, burial at 11, correct? Okay. But the Friday time is for sure, correct? 6 to 8? Okay. Friday from 6 to 8, Scott County Funeral Home. And again, that's Tammy Hayes' grandfather. Okay, I need to see Brother Scotty Kerr, if you don't mind, just a moment, and Harry Vickers. I need to see you just a moment, if you don't mind. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Help us to put these thoughts in practice. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. Help us to be faithful to You. No matter what goes on, help us to remain true to You, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Appreciate you being here. You'll be here Sunday if at all possible.
Ladies in the Victory Bible class, what is it?